Okay, good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the city council meeting for September 22nd, 2015. The time right now is just after 7. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Garrett.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on this evening's agenda is a public hearing. This is AB 15165, resolution number 016, 2015, declaring IT equipment sales surplus. And Ms. Wharton, is this here?
We just have a couple of computers that were paid out of utility funds, and so as part of the process, we need to hold a public hearing to ensure that we can surplus those.
All right, sounds good. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the public hearing. Is there anybody here that would like to speak regarding this item? Surplusing IT things. Okay, seeing none, Councilmember Gehring.
I move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Is there a motion to approve? Councilmember Gamble.
I'll make a motion to approve requisition number 016-2015, declaring certain technology equipment property as surplus and authorizing this requisition.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion to approve the resolution? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. The next item that we have on the agenda this evening, and I'm actually going to flop the two if that's okay with you. The first item is community transit. I'd like to switch that with AB 15-166, which is confirming a planning commissioner for appointment. Does council have any issue with making that adjustment to the agenda? Okay. So we're going to move on then to AB 15-166, confirmation of Planning Commission appointment. We had four people that I interviewed for the recently vacated position, and for former Commissioner Rodland, had very good applicants, and after reviewing everybody with Mr. Osaki, decided to appoint Mr. Wayne Bull, or as I know him, Jay, Bull, to the Planning Commission. He has a great deal of experience in the financial industry, and as part of that works with people who do development. So I would love to have a confirmation appointment. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and confirm, or make a motion to confirm the mayor's appointment of Wayne J. Bull Jr. to the Monroe Planning Commission.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. And Ms. Smoot's going to come forward and have you affirm an oath. Congratulations.
You, Jay Bull, do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and the State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Planning Commissioner according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
I will.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're going to go ahead and move on to the presentation now from Community Transit. This is Mr. Todd Morrow that will be coming forward to give a presentation. He is the Chief of Strategic Communications. Mr. Morrow.
Thank you, Mayor Thomas. It's great to be back here in Monroe. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about the work that Community Transit is doing in Monroe. And I want to just mention a couple things, one of which is early in my legal career, I actually worked in Monroe for about 4 years. I was assigned at Evergreen District Court. So I'm one of those people that you've talked about who actually comes to Monroe for employment purposes. And I'm also really glad to be here tonight because my friend and your Parks and Recreation Director, Mike Farrell, and I were classmates at the University of Washington, the Evans School of Public Affairs. So it's good to be here with him and see him, and I know he's enjoying his time here, and hopefully I'm serving you well. So my presentation I'm giving tonight is one that we've been giving around the county, and hopefully it'll be useful for all of you. And you'll see at your places I dropped off a plethora of different informational items that may be useful, including the slides for tonight, and also a piece on our 20-year vision. There's some information about the ballot measure proposition. There's a fact sheet. There's a parks a map, and there's also a map of our service in Monroe. So my key message today is that transit investments help our economy grow and protect our quality of life. And Community Transit exists to serve the needs of the people of Snohomish County. Every year that mission expands as more people come to our community. We've seen almost unprecedented growth recently, and our physical landscape, including here, of course, in Monroe, is changing, as witnessed by the cement trucks and the construction sites and all the retail and residential development. I think you may know that the Puget Sound Regional Council anticipates that by 2040, Snohomish County's population will increase by 240,000 people, and employment will grow by 130,000 jobs during that period. So let me just repeat that first statistic. That's 240,000 new people by 2040 in Snohomish County. That's 10,000 people new to our county each year for the next 24 years. In each of the last 2 years, Snohomish County has added about 3,500 housing units annually, and there are about 3,600 housing permits issued for 2016, with an additional 4,000 for 2017. We've been getting smarter about our county's growth. In the last 3 years, more than 1,600 residential units have been constructed or permitted near major transit facilities and along transit corridors. The slide that you see here is a transit-oriented development project located adjacent to I-5 at our Ashway Park and Ride, just north of Linwood. And this type of development helps to reduce the cars on our road and the vehicle miles traveled, and protects our quality of life. Our county continues to draw new residents, and we remain a strong manufacturing economy, with Boeing continuing to be the big driver of local jobs. But we're also adding jobs, as you know, in high tech and healthcare, business services, and tourism as well. We know that Monroe is committed to retaining its character and high quality of life. And we also, of course, understand that Monroe is growing. It's my belief that your population is slightly over 17,600, and you expect to grow another 4,700 by 2035. It's my understanding that your comprehensive plan estimates that you'll add another 1,690 households by 2035. So just as Snohomish County has grown, our agency, Community Transit, has grown along with it. And on a busy day, about 40,000 people ride Community Transit buses, vanpools, and dark paratransit vehicles. That's equivalent to more than twice the entire population of Monroe boarding our buses each and every weekday. People take pride in our local transit service, and we appreciate our role in the community. We try to make it easy for Snohomish County residents to use public transportation. 47% of the county's population in our service area lives within a quarter mile of a bus stop, and that's quality of life. and about 70% of county jobs are located within walking distance of a bus stop. That helps our economy. In Monroe, about 57% of residents live within walking distance of a bus stop, and that's shown by the green area here on the map, and you also have a larger map in your place as well. Approximately 200 people board our buses at 44 stops within the city limits each weekday, and there are 56 trips that serve your city each weekday. So earlier this year, we made some significant changes to our service within the city, and we've had a great response from your residents. We know that transit's important to Monroe, and that enhancing transit service is an important part of your city's future plans. If I may, let me just tell you about our transit success. In June, as you know, we brought back Sunday service for the first time in 5 years. And that first Sunday, 5,000 people took the bus. Our scheduling supervisor wanted to witness the first Sunday rider, so he went to watch the first trip of that day depart at 6:04 a.m. And the first passenger on our first trip on that first Sunday was a woman wearing an Arby's uniform, and she was on her way to work in the morning. And to think that we were able to make a positive difference in her life made us feel good. I don't know how she got to work on Sundays before then, but we know that she's riding our bus now. I was in Marysville just a while back, and we were making a similar presentation to their city council. And after the presentation, one of the council members came up and commented how his business is along one of our major routes, and he could not express how important it was not only for his employees but also his customers to have a frequent, reliable transit service to get to and from his business. The point is, whether you take one of our buses every day or not, it's in your interest that people are able to get to their jobs quickly and efficiently on transit. And it's no exaggeration to say that we help keep the economy running. So what's the biggest challenge for community transit right now? Well, quite simply, it's keeping up with demand. In short, the public loves us too much. With population growth, employment growth, and a healthy economy, all of those things are driving more people to public transit. Every bus and every driver that we have is in service, yet we still cannot keep up. Last year, our ridership grew by 8%, and it's growing even faster this year. On our commuter service to Seattle, buses fill up at the very first stop, even on our double-tall buses. And this is the slide here that you see. People are standing in the aisle for their entire commute, sometimes up to 80 minutes. And on every morning, there are more and more people wanting to get on board. This snapshot, as I mentioned, is from an onboard camera on one of our Route 412 buses that leaves from the McCollum Park Park and Ride to Seattle. And the first couple trips in the morning were always full, and we were leaving people at the park and ride. Not a good thing. So fortunately, we were able to move some of our resources around and actually added this route. We've had similar situations elsewhere in our service area, and I'm glad to say we were able to add a couple of trips as well. But overall, we are stretched beyond our limits to meet demand and provide our residents the service they deserve and expect. Thankfully, we have an opportunity to make the investments to improve and grow our transit service. The governor recently signed into law a new state transportation funding package that included authority for community transit to seek new funding. The very next day, our board of directors took action to place a measure on the November ballot to increase transit service. That ballot measure is called Proposition 1. If approved, Proposition 1 would enable us to add additional buses to downtown Seattle and the University District to alleviate crowding on those popular commuter routes. We would also be able to add buses and vanpools across our entire service area, including more east-west connections. If Proposition 1 succeeds, we would increase the number of trips on existing routes, and this would give people more options to catch a bus and easier connections to other service, which provides more incentive to get people out of their cars. With more funding, we would also pursue new routes and new connections throughout our service area. This map that you see here is a conceptual map of a possible new route between Marysville and McCollum Park by way of Lake Stevens Transit Center in Snohomish along Highway 9. And this route would greatly expand the transit options available to Monroe residents if you're traveling to, whether it's to Lake Stevens, Marysville, Holcita Village, Smoky Point, Mill Creek, or South Everett. In our educational materials, we say more trips to more places more often. And that means more buses traveling to new destinations more hours of the day. That's what we can get from Proposition number one. Another huge addition, if we get funding, is a second Swift bus transit line that would run between Payne Field and Canyon Park. And this second Swift line would connect the 65,000 manufacturing jobs at the Boeing Payne Field Aerospace Center with the 25,000 high-tech jobs near Canyon Park and Bothell. And it would serve the residential and business activities in between. The second Swift line also establishes for the first time a bus rapid transit network in our county, so people along the first Swift line could transfer at Highway 99 and Airport Road to quickly get, whether it be to Mill Creek Town Center or to work at Boeing. It's in our long-range plan to establish a network of multiple Swift lines for fast, frequent bus service throughout the county. And in fact, with new funding, we would start planning for a third Swift line, which could be up and running by the time Link Light Rail arrives in Linwood in 2023. And that's really one of the best things about our improvements. We can deliver them right away. If Proposition 1 is approved in November, we can have more trips on the road by March. And then allowing time for public comment and to order new buses, more service could be added over the next 2 years, and the second Swift line could be up and running in 2018. So we're talking months to years, not decades. And so my message to you today is that we need these transit investments to help our economy grow and to protect our quality of life. And here are two statistics that illustrate that point. In the morning peak time, almost 80% of our riders are going to work. They're heading to their jobs, they're earning a paycheck, they're paying taxes, they're helping us to become a stronger and more resilient community. That's how we help our economy grow. And in the afternoon peak, about 80% of our riders, not surprisingly, are coming home. They're meeting their friends, they're going to football and soccer games, and they're sitting on the porch with their loved ones. We bring people home. That's how we protect our quality of life. We have the opportunity to ensure that the future here in Snohomish County is just as amazing as the community that we love today. We know what we need to do, we know how to do it, and we know the investments we have to make. And we know that people appreciate having a vital, locally based transit system. I hear it all the time. People in the county see our blue and white buses and they say, that's one of my buses. Well, that's pride. That's pride in our transit system and pride in our community. And with your help, we can help our economy grow and protect our quality of life here in Monroe and throughout Snohomish County. Thank you. And I'd be pleased to take any comments or try to answer any questions at this time.
Will do. Councilmember Gamble.
Appreciate you being here tonight. Good night. My family is taking advantage of this. My wife works, you know, downtown Seattle in years, you know, past. A lot of friends that do. And I guess the biggest question we always get from Sky Valley, whether it's Monroe residents, Sultan residents, or whatever, when, if any, are we going to have some sort of connector on 522? It's the glaring thing that's not on any plans. You know, you either have residents driving into the, what is it, the 116th? Park and ride to catch a bus, or you have a park and or you're taking a van. Otherwise, you got to go all the way into Everett, which is a beautiful station. Nobody, right. And we, you know, we love being able to take the trains down, but it adds an extra hour to everybody's commute. And then we just had our state legislators in here, and we kind of know that nothing on 522 is going to happen with the hourglass we have there for another 15 years, or at least it's not on the budget. So that would be a huge for us to be able to get some sort of mass transit connection between the centers.
So, Councilmember Gamble, appreciate that comment, and that's something that we will continue to look at. We do, in fact, do have service on 522. It's actually a commuter service, so it's not all day long. That's the challenge.
That's
so it's two trips in the morning, two trips in the evening. But as the market develops, we will look at that. And one of the first things that we'll do after the ballot measure is hold public hearings, and we'll do that around the county. And so we'll find out what do people really want and determine is there really a market to add, for instance, in that particular case, more trips. One of the challenges that we have, and you may know this, is there's a large portion of that part of Snohomish County that is not in the community transit service area. So we have service that goes through there, but for instance, the Highway 9 corridor south of Snohomish is not part of community transit. We had a measure back in 2008 and it failed. I think things have changed and maybe there is support, but at some time there'd have to be a public vote. And by doing that, if you look at our vision piece, you'll see there's a map that shows service along 522 and also down Highway 9. And that's clearly our goal because we know that there's a huge need there. And so those are things that we're looking at. And I appreciate your comment and I'll take that back.
Well, I appreciate the clarity. There are a couple routes. Like I should have been more clear on that. Yeah, that really there's not a lot of options.
Right.
You can't hit the zone. So that, I guess when I was looking at the, I think it was the proposed route that was coming down towards Bothell or down Highway 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for coming tonight, and thank you for the adjustments that were made to the Village Way area. We really appreciate that.
Appreciate it. I'm sorry you had to move your spot. I know how that is.
It's okay. Yeah.
He's nice to it.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you very much for the changes that the board did and the staff supported for Village Way. That meant a lot to our community. I had an opportunity to visit with Senator Pearson this last Thursday, and one of the things that he mentioned, I think that the legislators have mentioned in here also, is that it would be valuable one day to have a connection from Monroe to the UW campus at Bothell.
Mm-hmm.
That service doesn't exist today, right? I don't want to be speaking out of turn.
Well,
but it does.
You could get there, but it takes a long time. It's not a good one-seat ride. But yes, that's something that I also heard when I was meeting with you and Ann Robinson and others. So something we'll look at. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you. And again, thank you very much. I used the community transit bus for about 2 years. I'm very familiar with it from where I live to where I work in Everett. And thank you for the work that you're doing.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item that we have on our agenda is public comment. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Is there anybody signed up to speak? Okay, is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to approve a consent agenda.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Camp to approve the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda is unfinished business item number 1. This is AB 15168, discussion, second addendum to concessionaire and property use agreement. No? Oh, did we pull that? Okay. It's on my orange sheet. Okay, so we have pulled that. Why don't you give an update on that, regardless? Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I spoke with H3O back and forth on many occasions since the last time we met. They have not had a chance yet to go over the second addendum as a group. As I understand, they're doing that this evening. I did propose that, you know, or at least ask the question if they would have their documents ready for next week should council decide they want to have a meeting, and they weren't real confident. They weren't sure that there was anything that would keep them from doing that, but I didn't really get a for sure that they were ready to come forward to council. My concern is if we did plan the meeting, can can they get the documents early enough so the council can actually review them, same with the city attorney prior to next week. So, yeah, that's what we know.
Are there any questions? Okay. When we get to the extended agenda, unless we hear otherwise, we'll go ahead and we'll put that on probably for October 6th. Gene will be in touch with them to make certain that they get material to us in time for review and inclusion in the packets. All right, now we're going to move on to the real item under unfinished business. So this is two, but now one. It's AB 15-169, discussion on the 2015 comprehensive plan update. And Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this will be a brief update, but just because they're brief doesn't mean that a lot of items aren't going on right now. So the Planning Commission met last night, actually did not go through any chapters whatsoever because they've already gone through all the chapters. And I actually think one planning commissioner said it was kind of odd not to actually be going through a chapter. That being said, it was actually a pretty important meeting because there's a council resolution passed in 2012 that outlines the criteria that the Planning Commission have to address supporting a recommendation to you as the City Council. And so we went through the criteria last night. We talked a little bit about what they want integrated into the criteria, and at this point in time, we've been able to draft those criteria for the Planning Commission's next meeting for them to take a look at. They've integrated some of the key things that they've talked about throughout this process. There's a long list, and at some point I'll have the Planning Commission come before you when they make their recommendation, but they wanted to include how the importance of developing a thriving downtown, how we're not really a small town, we're a growing community, and they talked about some emphasis on walkability and pedestrian activity throughout the plan. Several other themes that they wanted integrated into these criteria. So those criteria now and the findings are kind of in the hip pocket. They're ready to be prepared and given to the Planning Commission when they're about ready to do their recommendation. And speaking of that, the consultant actually finished up and provided us with revised chapters now, chapter 1 through 10, and they're actually all on the city website. So if you go on the City of Monroe website on the comprehensive plan, there's September 22, 2015, and there are 10 chapters listed there. So if you as a council have some time over the next couple of weeks, you might just want to go through those chapters and take a look at them. Because for all intents and purposes, unless something really happens that I'm not anticipating, those will be the documents that get forwarded and recommended to you as a city council. There might be some changes here and there on formatting or something like that, but in terms of substance, I think that will pretty much be it. And we'll be adding on, there's appendices to the comprehensive plan as well, and we'll be adding those on to the website as we move along as well. But the Planning Commission focus was on those 10 chapters. Those 10 chapters are now on the city website. And then on your October 6th meeting, I'll have a little bit of feel for where the Planning Commission is. They're willing to have some special meetings to wrap this up, if necessary, to get a recommendation to you. But the idea on October 6th, we'll come back with another resolution just identifying a target date for completion of the plan update that we can give to the Department of Commerce. I failed to mention last week I did talk to the Department of Commerce. I called them up just to kind of give them an idea of where we were and our status, and I got no adverse reaction whatsoever. They just basically said what they've always told me, you and a lot of other communities are in the same boat in terms of your timeline. So I feel comfortable that we can get this wrapped up within the next month and a half or something like that. Again, it all depends on public comment that you may receive, but if we can get this wrapped up in the next month and a half, 2 months, we'll be in good shape. So that concludes the staff report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Osaki? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next item that we have on our agenda this evening is Councilmember Reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Bearcat Volleyball, freshman. Still have not lost a single set against any opponent. Defeated the arch rivals and homers this evening, and varsity is actually playing right now, but I have a little more interest in freshman teams since my daughter's on that team. But Bearcat's doing great and excited about football and all the other sports going on. It's just crazy and just a lot of fun right now. Love this time of year. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So lots of stuff going on this weekend. We had a couple park events there on Mike. They were great. The Legends Baseball Club held their end of season kickoff over at Lake Tye. That wind came up, so there may have been a few plates lost. We apologize in advance. We had kids in the lake trying to fish that stuff out. Got a little windy on Sunday, but it was absolutely beautiful. Just to give an idea around that. That organization started several years ago. There was only three teams, three collectives. We can have some, you know, kind of club sports local. It's grown to 13 clubs, you know, that we have here local, starting to bring, you know, the focuses on developing local kids here, but then we also have some players that come from out of town from that sport. So if you look at 13 teams, we have now four tournaments a year that come out of that, that take up on the parks, and just the infusion of, you know, from an economic development perspective on that. And then in addition, we've had a couple businesses spring up to support that, including Top 10 Sports, which is a tenant, you know, the anchor program for them is the Legends Baseball Club. So just shows, you know, you get, you know, parks in place and that stuff, and working out how something can come right out of there. And now it's one of the, I would say, premier baseball clubs around. Best bargains in town, for sure. And a lot of kids are coming from outside of the Monroe area to play. So it was fantastic. And then also had a birthday party. You know, they're renting the ball fields out down there at Sky River for birthday parties and stuff. And that was great on Friday. Bearcats, the old 89ers, defeated the dreaded Turks of Salton on Saturday. We had to move. It was a home game, but we couldn't play at the high school field because there was a certain little grudge match going on there that I'm sure the chief will bring us up to date on. Congratulations on that. But we took care of business over at Glacier Peak at 37-8, so that was fantastic. And then guaranteed victory last week, but I just want to remind you on that because of Madeline being there, so I'm glad she came through for you. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
I have nothing, thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
Nothing.
Thank you. And Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you. Yeah, pretty awesome football game on Saturday. Mayor, thanks for coming out. It was our honorary coin tosser, and Ms. Gamble singing the national anthem. But you know, kudos to everyone that came out, and then the police and fire departments for taking time out and playing. I know some of the officers had been at it for, you know, 18 hours prior to the game, is what someone told me, and couldn't even tell. It was pretty awesome. So, you know, I'll let Chief give the play-by-play on that. But
he is.
But it was an awesome event, and huge. I mean, compared to last year, it was huge and very positive, and it was just awesome seeing everyone out there. So, Chief, again, thanks for your department for participating and everyone that came out. So,
thank you. Councilmember Cutterback?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. Yes, on Saturday, I was able to attend the Christian Armory grand opening. They remodeled and they reopened with a coffee shop, so it's Pilot House Coffee. So that was nice to see. And was not able to make it to the game because of work, but heard about that. And I was also able to witness the video of your daughter singing. Wonderful job. So sounds like it was a great time Saturday. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's go out to staff. Mr. Worthen? Okay. Mr. Carroll?
Sure, thanks, Mayor. So last Thursday, there were 16 employees. They're very enthusiastic about Mankey Homes, and they did a service day over at Sky River Park. So they pressure washed facilities at Rotary Field, so that's all spiffied up. They did a lot of pruning and meeting around the planters there. And then also, they painted the undersides of those about half of the new dugout covers at Sky River Park. And great afternoon showers to do it, too. So they had a great time. On that note, volunteerism, got a couple other things coming up. This Saturday, Eagle Scout candidate Benson Gonzalez is going to be installing some new barbecues at Sky River Park. And then the following Sunday, I believe it's October 3rd, there'll be students from Sky Valley Education Center, and they'll be doing an environmental cleanup around Lake Tahoe. So they'll be picking up garbage and doing things like that around the lake.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson?
Tonight.
Okay. Mr. Osaki?
Just a reminder that tomorrow night, staff will be hosting a public hearing on the draft supplemental EIS for East Monroe. It starts at 7 o'clock here in the Council Chambers. That's it.
Thank you. Mr. Cloudberg?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Dorgado, who is our water quality lead, he's been sponsored by the American Public Works Association to participate in the Emerging Leaders Academy for, Emerging Leaders Academy for 2015-2016, which includes an intensive two-day training at the APWA headquarters in Kansas City and a trip to the APWA Congress and Exposition in Minneapolis next year. This is a significant honor as the APWA is a 28,000-member organization and the Academy is only offered to the top 16 individual applicants annually. So if you see Jordan around the city, wish him congratulations and best wishes on his studies there.
Thank you.
That's it.
Chief.
Many of you received an email reference to school zones. I can assure you that we are having spirited discussions on it amongst the staff to decide how we're going to address this situation, but we're working hard on it. So, and then getting back to Saturday, there's a team out there that has a record that University of Washington's envious of, WSU's envious, and we sure know the Seahawks are envious. They're undefeated. You know, so
University of Oregon is
anyway, here's our plaque hanging in our entryway there at the police department for another year, and the score was 18-6. And yes, there were some officers that were quite tired. We were in the middle of a search warrant when the football game needed to be played, so we kind of delayed the search warrant, part of the search warrant for a while, and played a football game and went back to work. So, but anyway, it was a good time. We really enjoyed it, and I hope you all know when I call the fire department the Red Menace that I'm just joking with them, because we really like those guys, and they had, like I said, a very good game. Both sides played hard, and we were fortunate to come out of the top. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
So humble.
All right, Liz, Ms. Smoot.
Yes, thank you. I have a couple of updates on some items of interest to council. One is the student representative to council. I have been in contact with the staff there at the high school for the last couple of months, and we had an updated application, and we have set the deadline for this Friday. So I'm not sure if anybody has come forward yet. I haven't heard. But the last I heard from them, they were actively talking to individuals and trying to see if they could find someone. So I'm hopeful that next week perhaps we'll find out if anybody applied. The second item is the lobbyist RFP. It did close last Friday. We had 4 submissions. Currently, our staff member who did the review last time, Pam Baker, she is going to look over those, sort of the sufficiency to make sure that each of them meet the criteria and can be passed along. And the plan, as was in previous, before we shut down the last RFP and reopened, was to send this to the Legislative Affairs Committee for review. So on that note, the Legislative Affairs Committee normally meets the third Tuesday of every month. So the thought was, if they wanted to meet earlier than that in order to move this forward, perhaps that's a discussion that could come forward tonight, or that committee could think about an earlier date. And along those lines, we are aware that the Finance and HR Committee, which normally meets on October 6th, will not have a meeting. They don't have any items at this time, so unless anyone on the Finance and HR Committee has any items, one idea would be that meeting would cancel and that we could potentially have a Legislative Affairs Committee meeting on the 6th. So that's just a little update for me. Any decisions or discussions is at your...
Can we get to extended here shortly? Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. There was one item I forgot to mention. We received some thank you cards from the Cub Scouts for the police demonstration, and they really liked the dog. And I wanted to point out that this was put together in a timely manner by the Cub Scouts, but the parent who gave it to me told me he put it in his briefcase, and it's been residing in there for a few months. So don't think badly of the kids. I just thought I'd point that out. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any report out from you?
Just land sales update. Still working with Irwin. Jane kind of put some pressure in certain areas this week because we hadn't seen Earn's money deposited. And we got confirmation from Irwin that it was being wired and the deadline was today, or he would have been out of contract. So I believe it probably happened. I've yet to see anything from escrow. As soon as I do, I will email the council, but don't be alarmed. I'm sure it's just fine.
Sounds good. So a couple things for me. One, yes, I was at the police versus fire game on Saturday. I did make it known that I was rooting for police, and fire said, "We'll see if you get any medical aid." Or I still stand by our employees, our guys in blue, and they did us well on Saturday, 18-6. They played really well. I then went to the beer, bacon, and bands event that the chamber held over by grocery outlet Sahara Pizza. There were a number of people there, a number of nice-looking old classic cars. And then after that, I went to a hospital foundation, an Evergreen Foundation fundraiser that raised quite a bit of money toward a recovery center at Evergreen Hospital here in Monroe. So I suspect that there will be a more formal announcement later, but they had mentioned that they had brought in that evening over $100,000 toward that. And again, I know that numbers need to be added up and everything, and the pencil needs to be sharpened, but that's a round number of what I heard that evening. It was great seeing so many people there and so many people give to a much-needed community asset here in town. I also met with Senator Pearson on Thursday. We talked about some of the same things that we've spoken about before in terms of things like connecting 191st. We spoke some about synthetic turf at Frylands Elementary School slash the Lake Tai Park. I mean, really Lake Tai Park. And we also talked about our disappointment with not being included in having improvements done for 522, where the hourglass is today. So we had some other discussions also that aren't occurring to me right now. Is there anything else that? Okay, we're going to get some more information back to him, like he wanted to have, as soon as we can get it to him. Basically, the capital request that we had made last year for the synthetic turf fields. It's always good having something like that with him in the event that an opportunity arises. We were also going to send him a more specific letter about 191st being connected, and so staff will be working on that over the next couple weeks to get that to him. I think that's it. Okay. The last thing is that over the last couple of days, I received some correspondence. Some of this went to you. We've already spoken about the school zones, and staff is working on that issue, and we'll report back to you. Also, we had a request at one point in time about doing something about homelessness here in Monroe, and I met with a couple of folks, a couple of organizations that are involved in Cold Weather Alliance, the Cocoon House, Take the Next Step, and whatnot, that are now in this flyer. The Snow Isle Library is going to take the lead on putting together and hosting this panel. So I've given that to each of you and also to the paper, and I know that the library has already reached out to Chris at the Monitor. So that's at your table. That's on October 7th, Wednesday at 6 p.m. We also received an email. I received an email from somebody asking about we once had a four-way stop at South Blakely and Fremont. When we did the project, one of the things we did was we removed the Fremont stop, so now it's a two-way stop. That was removed when we did the project because it the MUTCD, did I get that right? The MUTCD says that it meets the warrant for two stop signs, not four, and then our downtown plan, one of the maps in there illustrates stop signs for Blakely and not for Fremont. If it's something that council wants to come back and discuss, let me know, but that was something that was removed when we did the downtown project. Councilmember Gamble?
I'm glad you brought that up because mm-hmm. I was approached on that exact same stop sign. Who was that came to all of us, or was it just you?
No, this was just sent to me. Her name was Kim Reed.
Okay, that's a different citizen. So I've been approached as well about that stop sign.
Okay, so if it's something that council would like to discuss, we can certainly put it on the extended agenda to have a discussion on it. But again, it's something that I had discussed with staff, and you know, as part of the downtown project with a bump out on West Main, and it was, and I know that there are people that go that direction right now. It was something that was removed as part of the project, but again, it's, you know, if council wants to do something differently with it, we can certainly at least have the conversation. Councilmember?
Yes. If you look in Google Maps, it's still there.
Yeah.
On the street view.
Okay. Let me see. You also received a couple of emails. This went to you all in addition to me. They're both from Don Worthen. This is the Monroe Home Brewing Supplies. One is on parking space time limit, and they're all stapled. One is on naming the downtown alley to the hall at Marketplace. And then there's a business card. And I'll go ahead and acknowledge Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. With regard to renaming alleys,
mm-hmm.
We had done that with Destination Alley in the past. Regardless of the name of the business, I think that's actually a pretty good name. I'd love to see that come back for some council consideration.
Okay.
I mean, the cost of signage to do it. I think we have the blue signs that say Destination Alley. Are they blue
they're
or
green?
Brown?
They're green.
Are they green?
The street signs. Okay, so they're standard green signs. I see them for some reason. I thought they were blue.
I'd love to have that. Okay. Don't worry about future agenda. So at some point, I'd love to at least talk about getting that done.
Okay, we'll put that on the extended agenda. All right, was there? Sure. Was there any interest on if anybody wants to do anything with the other item, please let us know. Again, this just came to your dais tonight. You can go ahead and customer cut it back. No, this is the.
You said the other
item. The other item is a restaurant taproom. So it's parking in front of our building is 2-hour maximum, and requesting that the space just north of the alley entrance be limited to 30 minutes. There is a 15-minute one on the corner in front, to the south of that. But the request was made in there, and Councilmember Kutubek.
That's what I was going to ask. Do we have any 30-minute?
No.
We stayed away from that. We did 15-minute, 2-hour.
2 4s and 15s.
Okay. So has anyone responded and said if a 15-minute there, does that make sense to have another 15-minute there, Brad?
I saw this yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't know either. I think we should. I think when we looked at setting the time limit, we knew that there was going to be feedback throughout the next year, and we were, I think, most of us seemed open to making some small changes based on if we look at it, it makes sense. I don't know if immediately on, like, do a 30-minute. We don't have any 30 minutes, but I think we at least need to look into it.
Staff will reach out to the
okay.
to the person that made the comment and find out if it's preferred to be 15 or 30 minutes, and I'll go ahead and acknowledge Councilmember Hanford. If you're done, Councilmember Kutubek?
Yes.
Okay, Councilmember Hanford?
My comment was about the email from City of Everett's mayor. So if we're not done with this...
Yeah, we'll be there real soon.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so we'll go ahead and we'll add... Brad will go ahead and follow up on the 30 minutes versus the 15 minutes, and then we'll come back and report just on where that is at the next during the next department reports in 2 weeks at the next meeting. Okay, anything further on that one? Okay, the City of Everett Mayor's letter was also in your packets, or rather was also sent to you, and Councilmember Hanford, you have the floor on that.
Yeah, I just think that... Unfortunately, I don't think my schedule will allow me to attend, but I think it's very important that we have some sort of representation there from the city because we are in the midst of trying to figure all this out, and so the collaboration within the Snohomish County, I think, is very important. So,
okay. Is there a council member that would be able to attend? I believe it was 2 to 5 on a Wednesday. I don't have the letter in front of me. Was it 2 to 5 on?
I don't grab them here.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay.
Tuesday, October 13th from 2 to 5 at the Weyerhaeuser Room at Everett Station.
Thank you. So it's Tuesday, 2 to 5, Everett Station. You can take the bus to get there.
Huh?
Yes, Tuesday. Yeah, I think they had had a meeting like this last week or the week before. It also was a weekday, and I think it was 9 to noon or something like that.
if I could, for those that haven't quite gotten a chance to read the email, so they're hosting a roundtable discussion of social issues affecting our communities with a focus on homelessness, mental illness, addiction, and street crime. So that's, we just got the other flyer about homelessness, and so I just think it's timely. Thanks.
Okay, if a council member is able to attend, could you please email me and also Gene, and like that we know that there is somebody from council that's able to attend. I'm not able to attend. I've got other meetings at that time, and that I know have been scheduled. Okay, I think that's all that I have. Does anybody else have anything else, Councilmember Rasmussen, and then we'll move on to our city administrator.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a quick question for you. Downtown Association had a meeting last week that was representation.
There. Right.
Is there anything worthy of mentioning?
Lots of stuff worthy. Mr. Osaki, can you go ahead and brief council a little bit about the Downtown Monroe Association meeting from Thursday night that you and I attended?
Well, there are several purposes of the meeting, but one of the purposes was that I believe was the first meeting that the Downtown Monroe Association had during the evening, and the intent was to reach out to those individuals that haven't been able to come to some of the meetings during the daytime. And I actually think that there were probably about 6 or 7 people that I haven't seen before during some of the daytime meetings. So to that extent, I think it was pretty successful, and I'll just flat out say I was pretty impressed by the organization still of the Downtown Monroe Association. Group that's doing work because they'd already started thinking about fundraising, some organizational items, and we're passing out flyers and information to all those in attendance. So I think overall it went pretty well.
Yeah, my feeling was exactly the same as Mr. Osaki. It was a really good meeting. When I'm in those meetings, it is a grassroots approach, so I just kind of sit back so that I don't end up taking over the meeting, so to speak, and people were doing a really good job sort of kicking around ideas, concerns, and the group's doing a great job. Okay, anything further? All right. Mr. Brazel.
Council agenda for Tuesday, October 6th, 2013. Public hearing. Revenue sources and consideration of possible property tax increases. Same discussion we have every year or at the beginning of our budget cycle. This consent agenda under unfinished business. We have H3O here. And then a discussion of the 2013 comprehensive plan update. New business, we have a discussion for East Monroe. That's still tentative. Two, resolution declaring city's intent to absorb the Monroe Transportation Benefit District. Basically what that means, as I understand it, there's new legislation that allows us to combine those the work on the TBD with the council's work, so you don't have to actually have separate meetings, as I understand it. And we have authorized mayor to sign jail services contract.
And who's that contract with?
It's with Sunnyside, I believe.
Okay, sounds good.
And then final action, we have 2015 comprehensive plan update.
Okay, Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. As I mentioned before, I won't be here on October 6th.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead. Any questions on the agenda for October 6th? Councilmember Cutterback?
Yeah, I also most likely will not be here on October 6th.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll now go on to the extended agenda. Mr. Basil?
The only thing I have for notes tonight is naming the alley, and I guess I would defer to Mr. Feilberg to see when he'd be ready to discuss that.
Oh, 6 would be fine.
Is this resolution in that discussion?
Yeah. What?
How about the 13th?
Yeah.
Packed on the 6th.
Yep, that'd be fine.
The work paper? Yep.
Okay.
We might want to run that past that have the downtown folks weigh in too, and as many people as possible. Kind of, you know, I think it's a great name.
Yeah.
Let's keep it simple, but you know, say hey, here's what's proposed. You know, give us your thoughts type thing. We'll be discussing on 13th. Maybe they can comment.
Okay.
Can you bring the stop sign back then, too?
Yeah, it's up to you guys. Is that...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's that?
On 13.
Yeah, on 13.
Fremont and Blakely. All right. Anything else for the extended agenda? All right. Do you have anything else? Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Yes, a couple things. So, looking ahead, if you flip it over, election night is set November 3rd. I know we're still a month out, so I don't feel the need to cancel it yet, but based on past years, we have always canceled it when there's been council members running in the election, so that would be my suggestion. If anybody else has strong opinions about that, I'm willing to make the motion to just get it done so that those that are in the race don't have to worry about that. Also, on the 24th, in the past, we've usually canceled that meeting right before Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving. And we have three meetings in December, so there's plenty of... I know that would only give us two in November. That gives us three in December, so there's usually not a problem with two. So in the future, I'll be making a motion to cancel that meeting, But going back to the third, open to any other discussion or comments. Thank you.
Councilmember Kent.
I will not be here on the third. As far as the 24th, I'm concerned about the budget. Our consideration discussion, that would be the only reason. I'm not sure what your plan is when the budget will be presented in October, right?
Yes, it'll be presented in early October. Yes.
That would be the only concern I have about cancellation.
Okay. Councilmember Guerin?
With regard to November 3rd, we have done that in the last few times. It's been based on a very uncomfortable meeting that you and I were both at in 2009 when
I seem to remember things vibrating.
Losing while we were up here, and it was very awkward. And since then, we've not done that. And I think that's just fair to everybody. Well, plus, no one's paying attention after 8 o'clock anyway. I would suggest that we just... I'm along the lines of just not.
So is there a motion to cancel November 3rd?
I'll move to cancel the November 3rd.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any other discussion on canceling the November 3rd business council meeting? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, and then going back to the legislative committee and what we talked about, Ed, you're the chair, but I wanted to suggest maybe the 13th, if that's not too late, since the 6th, Councilor Camp's going to be gone. And that's not a week earlier, but just a suggestion. I don't know if that's early enough or not, but...
So you're saying put the Legislative Affairs Committee that was scheduled for October 6th on October 13th or from October 20th to October 13th?
Yes, so the Legislative Committee would meet on October 13th instead of the 20th.
Instead of the 20th. Okay, so there will be a Legislative Affairs Committee meeting on the 6th and also the 13th or just the 13th?
Just the 13th.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. I mean, that's just a suggestion.
That's fine with me. Maybe we can change the P4 meeting so that we're not doubling up here. So.
So unless there's disagreement on council, we'll go ahead and switch the P4 committee and the Legislative Affairs Committee so that the P4 committee is on October 20th and the Legislative Affairs Committee is on October 13th. And the discussion we had before about an October 6th Legislative Affairs Committee, there will be not a Legislative Affairs Committee or a Finance and Human Resources Committee on October 6th. Okay. All right. Anything further? Okay. I have no other business this evening. is Councilmember Gamble.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
First from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp to adjourn the meeting. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Good evening.